And we're going to shift gears for a little bit. We're going to talk about something entirely different for the next few minutes. And joining us now, we have journalist Louise Matsakis, who has written a piece for Wired on what might seem like, a speculative thought that has to do with Russia and the Internet. And, of course, Louise, anything that has Russia and the Internet connected, we're going to be excited and pay attention. Welcome to the show. And tell me, what is this article all about?
Thanks for having me. So this is about a planned test that Russia wants to do where they're going to try to disconnect themselves from the rest of the global internet, which might sound crazy, but this does happen a lot, right? There are a lot of authoritarian countries that during elections or during, you know, periods of unrest, they disconnect their country from the global internet infrastructure so people can't communicate with each other. Russia is much larger than the countries that usually do this, and I think because it has this kind of national security context here, it's worried a lot of people in a way that they are not usually worried when these sorts of shutdowns or these sorts of tests are proposed.
So this is a planned thing. Is there a time set for it?
So what the Russian parliament said is that they want to try it and do it before April 1st, but there's, you know, no infrastructure plan in place. And kind of what I talk about in the article is that this is going to be a lot harder than it might seem, which I think is a big part of this. But I think it does kind of signal that Russia wants more independence in their internet. And that's something that they've been working towards because the internet was invented in the United States and it's a very Western thing, right? You know, a lot of the internet infrastructure in the world is controlled not only by the United States, but by U.S. companies like Facebook and Google. So I think that worries Russia, but I also think this is probably Putin wanting to exercise more control over the communication of his citizens.
So it's kind of ironic in a way. Is it a case where Russia is concerned that some other country might do to them what they have done to other countries using the internet?
Yeah, I think it's probably more of a domestic concern. But if there was some sort of cyber war or, you know, an incident where the U.S. was, you know, trying to do something over the internet to Russia, they would have this mechanism where they could just disconnect themselves. Right. We're seeing a report now where it looks like during our in November, we actually blocked Russia from interfering in that, right? So we already do kind of do this with Russia, and I think that is part of the concern. But I think part of it is that if there was unrest in Moscow or St. Petersburg, I think Putin would like to have this button where he could just shut that down, right? I think that's more of what he's probably thinking about. It's hard to speculate, but I think the overarching point is whether or not he wants to build that button, it's probably going to be harder than it might seem.
Now, in our country, if any little, let's say, I don't know, fractional part of what we think of as the internet, let's say it was Twitter, that was down for 3 hours, you know, there would be like, oh, outrage and people with their hair on fire. What would happen if Russia actually were able to do what you're describing, considering the interconnected nature, which is what the internet is, interconnection, right? What would happen?
Right. So why the internet is so resilient is that when those sorts of outages do happen, for example, when a cable is ruptured, for example, say a cable in the Atlantic Ocean drops a boat drops an anchor on one of those cables, you don't notice if you're on Twitter or Facebook because the traffic is just routed over another cable or it's routed the other way across the Pacific, right? There are all of these kind of strengths and resiliencies in the network. If Russia were to kind of disconnect all those resiliencies, you would have all sorts of issues. And a lot of them, there's no way to know exactly what would happen because the internet is so complicated that we don't even know all of the different ways that we're relying on other countries. But you would see websites break. You know, you might see problems with the aviation infrastructure, with the medical infrastructure. I had one expert tell me I would not want to book a flight for the day that they were doing that test.
Yeah.
And, you know, a web page has a lot of information and it's using a lot of servers from other countries, right? So anything that was connected to Facebook or Twitter or Google or, you know, Amazon or Alibaba or all of these other big internet giants that are not based in Russia would have issues. And Russia has been trying to push for more data to be held in Russia itself over the last couple of years. They've passed a couple of laws. but it would be a huge issue. And I think that's what is kind of getting lost in the conversation about this test, which sounds really scary, but it's also really implausible in a lot of ways.
Does any country have a truly independent internet system?
No, there's no such thing. You know, there's the whole beauty of the internet is that there is no central authority. It's really hard to make your internet truly independent. Any time that, like, say, the Congo, for example, turned off the internet during a contentious election last month, and that's just so detrimental, right? They're not allowed to use all of these services. And what ends up happening over time is that any tech company in those countries moves their servers elsewhere because they don't want to have to deal with that kind of instability. But even the U.S., we communicate with servers and companies that are based abroad. You know, we talk to people in Europe. We talk to people in South America. That's the whole, beauty of it. Without that interconnectedness, it's not going to work, right? If you order something on Amazon, it might ship from China, right? Even though Amazon's an American company, you don't really realize all the ways that you're relying on this infrastructure that's not based here necessarily. Yeah. It's a really great and global system, and it's kind of a shame that Russia wants to weaken it, really.
We're talking here with Louise Matsakis, who's a staff writer at Wired. She writes about cybersecurity, internet law, online culture, and we're talking about this planned test, I should say. Would you call it a test?
Yeah, I think that's how they're kind of framing it in the Russian parliament. It's always a little hard when you're kind of trying to map a foreign, government that speaks a different language, but that's kind of the framing that they've been using. Is they're calling it a test. They want to, see if they can, as how independent they can be. But I would say it's a fair characterization for sure.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when the internet was new. Right after Al Gore invented it, and your website might be residing on your own server back then. And when you put in a URL, you were going to one very specific place that, in many cases, didn't have anything. Streaming into it like we do today, modules of information that are popping in from all different sources. That just wasn't possible under old dial-up modems and the technology of the time, mid-90s. So for us today, when we visit a website, we click on something, takes us somewhere, what you're saying is that there may be content that's coming from servers from many different parts of the world that populates that page. Is that right?
Totally right. Like, a good example is signing into your Gmail, Google, your account, right? Like, I it's really hard to trace where the server is that's actually, like, storing your emails, right? Or if you go on your Facebook account, where is the server that's storing that information? It might be on the other side of the country. It might very well be in California. It's totally possible, but there are so many of these servers, and you don't know which ones you're pinging and where you're getting that information from. And this is a huge legal issue because sometimes information stored overseas, and does a U.S. search warrant allow the law enforcement to get this stuff? It's a really global network, which is really great. And it's, a shame, I think, when a government wants to deprive its citizens of that resiliency and that the market power that infrastructure provides.
Yeah, and I would think to reliability, the fact that it's so diversified, decentralized, means that a problem in one location doesn't crash the entire system. Is that true?
Totally. There are problems all the time. Like I was saying earlier, anchors drop on these undersea cables all the time. There are ruptures, there are earthquakes, there are all sorts of things that disrupt the actual physical infrastructure. But most of the time, we don't notice because it goes over another part of the network. There's another way for it to get there, which is really great. And it makes it so that, you can always use your credit card. You can always check your Facebook account. You can always get your email. You can always, use the medical devices in a hospital that are also connected to the internet, which is really great. And that's, what makes it so useful and why we're relying on it more and more.
Yeah.
But I don't think people realize that it's physical stuff, right? Like, this is like actual cables and things that are in the ground that have been built to make this kind of magic on your computer or device happen. And it's a decision that we made as a country and as a planet to do this. It's a big lift.
Yeah. Has anyone in the U.S. ever suggested this kind of a test to see if our internet can be independent?
No. So part of the reason that that's kind of not, it's kind of a no starter, is that we have a much more private system than a lot of other countries. Our telecoms are, for the most part, privately held. There is some public private infrastructure, but that's kind of asking Google or Facebook or AT&T or Verizon to turn off the internet, which is their business, right? And that would be, in, you know, asking something unreasonable of a private company. So we don't really have that even option, really. It would be a completely reframing of how we've built the infrastructure here, which has largely been a private project. Whereas in a lot of countries, even if they are private telecoms, the government has much more say over them, right? They do censorship, that sort of thing, through their telecoms, and that's just not really the system here in the U.S. And if we were to do that, because so many other countries are reliant on us, we would disrupt the global infrastructure significantly more than Russia would, right? Russia doesn't have a Google that is responsible for so much.
We hear a lot of stories about how certain countries, and I guess China comes to mind, limiting the ability to search in certain ways, or using a search engine that's their own, that they control, rather than letting Google be what people go to. Is that common? Is that happening in a lot of countries? You mentioned authoritarian countries wanting to control the information flow more than others.
Yeah, I think in some countries where there's a more sophisticated, you know, governmental apparatus, there are some countries where they just can't, you know, feasibly do that. But from the beginning, China wanted to have this control, right? There was this kind of misconception that we thought, oh, the internet would bring democracy to China, and that's definitely not what happened, right? They built a very tightly controlled internet called the Great Firewall. And yeah, I think that that's also happening in Russia, where they've put a lot of pressure on Yandex, which is their version of Google, to censor results and that sort of thing. So yeah, that's definitely happening in a lot of places, and that's happening through the telecoms, where you see websites being blocked, you see websites that have information about democracy being blocked, that sort of thing. It's definitely an issue for sure that is happening in a lot of places, and it's really unfortunate because it's kind of the opposite of what the promise of the internet was supposed to be, which is this free flow of information.
Louise Matsakis, again writing for Wired, this story published a couple of weeks ago: what happens if Russia cuts itself off from the internet? You might think, why should I care? Well, there's a lot more to it, and I encourage you to check this out and give it a read. Louise, thanks for your time today. Very interesting and useful information.
Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care now.